back in. We are the morning show. Monday morning, 8:43 on this April the 15th. I'm Marcia May Cumber. And we've got our next guest with us this morning. Susan Kirsch is here this morning, founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control, a group that is focused completely as a grassroots network of community leaders, volunteers, and elected leaders, and they are all dedicated to promoting affordable housing while preserving single-family zoning, the environment, and reliable infrastructure. Good morning, Susan. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Marcia. I'm doing great today.
Excellent, excellent. So Mondays kicks off things for you and your organization, a big week, because there is always the Monday Catalysts call at 5, which anybody can join in onto the Zoom call for that. And I bet you have a lot to cover today with everybody to fill them in on what all's being worked on, right?
Absolutely do. And thank you for inviting everybody to come. It's a really easy call to hop onto. It's only an hour. We keep it really limited and it keeps moving. So a lot of people are networking with this call, finding people in their geographic area that they can talk to about what's happening in their neighborhood, because more and more people are seeing high-rise buildings proposed for their neighborhood, and they don't like what they see, especially when they find out that there might be 10% affordable in these big complexes. If they're not meeting the need for affordable housing.
Right.
They're meeting is what they call in one of these new laws, builder's remedy. They are fulfilling builder's remedies to make a lot of money.
Yes, funny how that works. Talk about that a little bit. And before you, Fred had talked about, you know, how little affordable housing is actually built. That is in part because the state requirement, which then trickles down to local municipalities, is it only 10% of a project has to be affordable housing, or is it more than that? It's more in Sonoma, but
It used to be more than that. It used to be, like 20% in many of the areas. Which even if you think about, like, how far across town would you drive for a 20% reduction on anything, it's not a big enough amount for what they call the problem of affordable housing. Mm-hmm. But it's baked into the RENA system. I mean, I did hear Fred kind of saying he thinks it's a great process. A growing number of people are disagreeing with that as they look at the numbers and see it's really baked into the RENA numbers that there's never a requirement for meeting the low income numbers, that there are higher numbers required for market and above market rate building.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been thinking about this. I think it's the old theory of trickle down, believing that if they build moderate and above moderate, like eventually, mm-hmm. then people will move out of their current homes and move into these more luxury homes, except in this economy and
right.
interest rates, people aren't doing that. But, or that it would trickle down in the old fashioned way of after 30 years of a fixed mortgage, then people are sometimes ready to, you know, reestablish what they want to live in. But the trickle down of RENA doesn't work. The numbers don't work. The quotas are ridiculous. And I didn't hear if you guys talked about it or if we've talked about it before, but Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks has teamed up with the state attorney general. Now, that seems a little odd that
yes,
our legislative and judicial would be mixing it up in that kind of way. But they have a bill, 1037 is the number, that if cities who don't build housing, we know they permit, but they don't build. But if cities then can't show midway through their 8-year housing cycle, if they can't show that they've met the RENA numbers, then the state will impose fines of up to $10,000 a month. Because, wow. You know, kind of like naughty cities and counties. But again, the ridiculousness of cities don't build, they permit, but the cities will be punished if developers don't do the building. It's a crazy manipulative system.
Right.
That's really dangerous.
Right. And of course, the builders are all lobbying the state and the municipalities for lower and lower fees so that they can make their profit. And that's okay. We understand businesses are in business to make a profit in some form. But the structure seems difficult to work out the numbers on.
Yeah, because then they can also, builders, the developers can also, if they meet certain conditions of these low numbers of affordable, then they can get density bonuses or setback bonuses so that they can build within 4 feet of the neighbor or the street. But one of the density bonuses I just read about in Marin was going to allow building on one of the ridge lines, which has been very carefully protected, 50 years of CEQA, California Environmental Protections, that was going to be waived and they would be able to build up to 10 times as many units as were otherwise allowed. Now, that seemed really excessive, is the reason I remember it. But I was just thinking, if we were thinking of our kids' classroom or our grandchildren's classrooms that we're going to increase by 10 times with no further allocations for what in building would be water or fire and police services or roads, we'd have our kids in classrooms with 200, say 250 kids, if they were regularly 20 classrooms of 25, with no more teacher, no more water fountains, no more, I mean.
Right.
It has a crazy quality to it. Crazy times. So,
what
may
can
I
we
talk
do?
About what Catalyst is doing?
So, yes, please.
I'm really pleased. Catalyst tomorrow is making a trip to Sacramento. And when I say, Catalyst, there are 22 people coming from areas primarily here in the Bay Area, because even that's a trek of like 2 hours or more to get to Sacramento. But we've got 4 teams of 5 or 6 people per team who will fan out in Sacramento in the legislative offices. And we've got meetings set with 25 different legislators who sit either on the Assembly or the Senate Housing Committee or Governance Committees or Audit Committees. So, and our meetings will only be 20 to 25 minutes long. We schedule them on the hour and half hour and then just needing some time to travel from one place to the other. But we've prepared people. We've done 2 orientation trainings on just, the how-tos of Lobby Day. We've prepared 2 documents to leave behind. And anybody can find these on our website if they want to go to catalystca.org and scroll down to Lobby Day. So we've prepared 2 things. One is the flyer where we give some of the RENA basics, knowing that some of the staff people we meet with or the aides may not know even the vocabulary. So we include on that flyer, and again, anybody could find our sample on the website, a grid of what the RENA numbers look like. We took 3 sample cities and we show what the numbers were in the fifth cycle, referring to an 8-year period of developing a housing element. So that's called a housing element cycle. It's 8 years long. So we show what the numbers were from the last cycle, the fifth cycle. And right next to that, we show what the numbers are in the sixth cycle. So, I have it here. Let me just show you one here for San Francisco. Which is getting beat up all over the place. But in San Francisco, at the low area medium income in fifth cycle, they were required to build 4,639 units. In the sixth cycle, that number went up to 12,000 something something numbers. Really?
A city with a border and 3 sides of it are water.
Yeah, up to 12,000. So their total numbers from fifth to sixth cycle went from, it went up from 11,000. I'm not reading this quite.
That's okay.
It was a big increase. Let's just say
it was.
So we're going to be talking about that with the flyer. One of our speakers, and just to say, we've got former and current city council members and mayors and neighborhood association leaders, One of our members is going to be talking about how, since 2017, legislators have passed 150 housing bills. 150 bills. And on the chart that he'll be speaking from, medium rents have increased to up 37% during that time. Rents are up. Homelessness has increased by 31% since 2017. And housing production rates, over which all these laws and decreased parking and did not change much. A little bit of a change with the accessory dwelling units. Mm-hmm. But again, by scale, that's building like one or two units at a time, yeah, instead of what's needed for this massive increase based on economics, not zoning, of homelessness and increasing poverty.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in Sacramento tomorrow.
Exciting. So if anybody wants to tag along as a learning experience and so forth, go to catalystca.org to learn more about the event. Very exciting to do this.
One of the things that our participants will be able to do, too, is that tomorrow at 1:30 is when the Senate Housing Committee is having a meeting. Nancy Skinner is the chairman of that committee. She's authored a number of bills herself. Her most recent one is one that, you know, in the idea of building more housing, will take away parking and diminish requirements for parking. But anyway, anybody who's there who doesn't have a meeting scheduled, you know, in the afternoon, will have the chance to sit in and actually, you know, as people are fond of saying, see how the sausage is made.
Yes. Yes. Very clearly.
It's going to be a big day.
It's going to be a big day, which is exciting. What else have you got in the works that you want to let our listeners know about?
Well, let's see. You know, I think, talk about what Catalyst is doing with the three L's: lobbying, legislation, and litigation.
Yeah.
So just one of the other things for people to know about, it's just in today's Marin Independent Journal, the story, the headline is Marin Judge Rules Against Housing Power Struggle. You know what, I kind of chopped off the top of it. It is a great story about how one person dedicated to what he thinks is the right thing can make a difference. So in Marin County, Bruce Corcoran has been an advocate for housing and justice, and especially in the unincorporated areas, which is where he lives. And so the headline of this is that Marin officials must remove wording in the countywide plan that gives its precedent over the 22 community plans in the county. So the situation was that when the county was developing its housing element, instead of honoring what were already in community plans, like the 22 of them, that people had poured hours and hours of time and effort into understanding what their options were for where to build and how to build and things like that, that the county, when they were developing their housing element, just overruled those elements. So Bruce, on his own, working with a team, but he was the sole litigator, took it to court, and Marin Superior Court Judge Sheila Shaw Lichblau has voted in favor of Bruce's case. So just in the news today from Marin IJ.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Oh, it's huge. And
that sets a precedent for other counties across the state if they're experiencing a similar problem, right?
And it's that story of against all odds that, you know, if you have a passion for what's going on that is not right, you know, to keep following the breadcrumbs to see what you can do. And I think more and more people are turning to litigation. And at least here's a judge who then, you know, read the situation the way many of us are reading it.
Yeah.
So that on litigation. And then what listeners might want to know, too, is that on May 2nd, Catalyst will be hosting a town hall. Our town halls are on Thursday night, different than every Monday night. There's a Catalyst call, and then we do occasional town halls. So May 2nd, we have attorney Pam Lee, who's been on our show or a guest before, but she's the one handling a lawsuit against Senate Bill 9 and lot splits and ADUs. So she's going to be on, she and her agency, Alshiner and Wender, follow what the legislation is. So I expect she's going to be able to give us both like overviews of what the implications of some of these bills are. You know, she's in touch with Michael Gates, who handled the Huntington Beach lawsuit, federal lawsuit. So it should be a really interesting story, and we always allow time for questions and answers. So if anybody wants to hop on that town hall, you need to register. The
Right.
registration tab is on our website, so kind of follow your way through if anybody wants to register for that.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Absolutely. Very interesting material. We just have about a minute left. Anything finally you want to add for our listeners?
You know, what I'll add is yesterday I listened to a Cali call, another resource for anybody who's listening. Every Sunday, there's a group called California Alliance for Local Electeds. And so yesterday they had a couple of people who were speaking about the Solano project, you know, the one where the billionaires, I mean, you were mentioning Disney going in and buying up swampland.
Yes.
This story is the billionaires went in to
That's
buy up farmland. And so this too is kind of that against all odds. It was two people. They've organized the group of Solano Together, I think they call themselves. And they're determined to protect, you know, the rights of the community to decide what happens there and educating. And, you know, there's a couple of lawsuits that the billionaire group has brought against some of the agricultural, the farmers. The proposal is to rezone 175,000 acres from ag land to urban so that they could build a community of 400,000 people.
Yeah, a big city, two buildings.